Thank you, Mr. Hazlett. Hello, everyone. I want to continue from where Mr. Bowles finished off. This is only a sermonette. It's a huge subject, so I'll have to reduce it to a small part of a huge subject. But it can be completed in one small paragraph. Advice to future kings for your title, or my title. Read the book of Proverbs. Written by King Solomon, the son of King David, our future king under Jesus Christ. It was written to a future king. We are kings in training. I will endeavor to focus on just one facet of the preparation for kingship. You could turn with me, please, to Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. In Proverbs 13, verse 20, he that walks with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed or broken. Mr. Armstrong, in his autobiography, volume 1, on page 115, the hardback edition, wrote about travelling on the old Pullman rail cars, an experience which I've obviously never met. This was way back about the time of the First World War. And he wrote, hours of contact over the years with many important, thoughtful, and successful men contributed their share in the preparation for the responsibilities of today and for the years still ahead of us. We are influenced by every person with whom we come in contact. The most successful men, he continues, the leaders, the men of accomplishment, rode the Pullman cars. That opportunity is not available to us, but we need to seek out the company of leaders, or at least future leaders. As repentant sinners, we're not starting from the best position. As Christians, as kings in training, we must be cautious in the company we keep. Or as Mr. Armstrong said, people with whom we come in contact. There's an old piece of wisdom, bad company corrupts good character. Vice versa does not work. We cannot ally ourselves with a wicked person and hope that our little bit of righteousness is going to clean them up. Doesn't work. There is a warning in Proverbs, the righteous can be seduced by the ways of the wicked. None of us is such a strong tower without God's protection. If we make poor decisions, God isn't going to stop us from poor decisions. He will give us the advice. He'll give us the way markers so we can skirt around bad situations. But if we are foolish, he's not going to stop us making a foolish decision. In Proverbs 22, we have an example. Proverbs 22, verses 24-25. An example of company we should avoid. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man you shall not go, lest you learn his ways and get a snare to your soul. We are what we eat, some people say. We are what we keep company with in many ways. The old expression, birds of a feather flock together. We're comfortable with certain people, but we need to be very careful who we are comfortable with. We do need companions. We do need friendships. We need this fellowship. It has been mentioned already, really a long time since we've had an opportunity to have a number of people like this, all with the same goal in mind. Okay, some of you are here to check us out. That's fine. Be wise. Check us out. And if you see something wrong, speak to Mr. Bowles, speak to Mr. Pippi. And if you do not get a satisfactory answer, that is your answer. Be wary. We've all had to learn to be wary. Follow, as Mr. Armstrong said, follow Mr. Armstrong as he follows Jesus Christ, and follow any man as he follows Jesus Christ. We need the same people. We need to be mixing with people who have the same goals, same qualities, same godly character we are striving for. We need to avoid immorality. That means avoid people who are comfortable with pornography. Avoid people who have got a huge repertoire of entertaining but blue off-color jokes. Means we switch off the television at the appropriate times. We don't need to hear that stuff. It has an influence on us. God programmed us to appreciate certain things about the female body. Don't mess up what God made, created beautiful. Liars have no place in God's kingdom. Don't mix with people who lie, who devalue the word of God, who cheapen the word of God, who make a living out of the word of God by making merchandise out of us. There are many liars out there. And they look pretty good. But check them out. Are they lying? Now, every time you stand up, you sit down and think, oh, did I actually say that? Oh, I didn't mean that. Please bear with us. We're human. A slip of the tongue can occur. If something comes out and you think, hey, I don't think that's quite right, challenge the guy who said it. It's a slip of the tongue, maybe. He said left, he meant right. We all do that. Please, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the intention to lie. The deceivers, avoid the deceivers. And another one, in a small group like this, avoid the slanderers. Boy, isn't gossip fun. If somebody has got gossip, shut them up. Stop right there. Go to your brother. Tell him. Don't tell me. And if he won't listen to you, go to the church. Go to the men with experience and see if they will listen. And then, see if they can talk to him and then the person listen. Don't encourage gossip. We all have to share the experience we've been through. I don't mean that as gossip. That's warning. We did this. We met this situation. That's like sort of saying, I reckon you shouldn't go that road. The bridge is out. Don't go there. The man lied to me. I don't call that slander. That's just giving evidence of experience you've got. But if you start saying or hearing someone say, I reckon this, or I think so and so, or that's bad, and there's nothing to back it up, or the person hasn't got the stomach to go to the person directly and sort it out there and then, don't listen to it. It won't do you or them any good. And it certainly won't help the person who maybe has a little bit of a problem if you're talking about it and not doing anything to help that man. Proverbs 27, 5, 6, and verse 9. Proverbs 27, verses 5, 6, 9. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Another reason we want companionship, guys, wise counsel, is someone who can hold up that mirror to us and say, look, your face is dirty. That's the work of a friend. Oh, you stink. You need a bath. It's pretty warm over here. I'm sorry, everyone. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. But the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. No matter how fervent they are, they're deceitful. Kisses are great. But an enemy deploys them to your destruction. Judas betrayed Christ with a kiss. Real show of friendship, huh? Verse 9. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So does the sweetness of a man friend by hearty counsel. Not sloppy counsel. Not rubbish. Hearty counsel. Solomon's son did not do terribly well listening to the advice his father left for him. He didn't bother to listen to the advice of his father's counselor, the wise men that his father had brought together over many years. He listened to the men of his own age. The men, when he became king, were going to be the favorites, the ones who expected to receive from the king. So they told the king what they figured he needed to know so they could benefit. Most of the people in high places in the old country are there because at some time in the past they were the favorite of a king. Not they were better or they achieved great things. They were just somebody's buddy. So these guys said, tax them more. Tax them more. Not so that the country's better. Not so the people are better. But so that you can give us more from what you've got. Not at all prejudiced in their advice, were they, guys? Proverbs 28:23. He who rebukes a man afterwards shall find more favor than he that flatters with the tongue. And a similar one, a man that flatters his neighbor spreads a net for his feet. That's in Proverbs 29:5. Preparing for kingship sounds a daunting task. It is. Oh, boy. That joke somebody just thrown last night, Mr. Munro. If I was going there, I wouldn't start from here. Sums up the situation we're in. If I was going to make kings, I wouldn't be starting looking here. But God has decided to start here. It's because of our unsuitability in the world's eyes, our unsuitability in our own eyes, that means that God is able to work with us. We are mud. But we need to be a malleable mud, a clay that can be worked with. Something that can be turned into something profitable. It's not what we do. It's what God can do through us. We can get in the way of it. We can say, no, I don't want this. But if we say, please, Lord, work with me. God wants to do that with us. He wants to model us. He wants to work on us. We just have to accept it. It'll mean we'll get pummeled occasionally. We'll get drenched occasionally. We'll get thrown on the wheel occasionally. It's going to be uncomfortable. But it's for our own good. And it's something that is achievable, not by our strength, but by God's power, strength, and the faith of Christ. We are like apprentices. Excuse the expression, I don't know how badly it'll come over here. We're like snotty-nosed kids. Little children with runny noses who don't have the sense to pick out an handkerchief and wipe their nose. But we are young enough to learn, gentle enough to listen. With the master craftsman, he can mold us. It's achievable. We need to do our part. We need to choose the right company. We need to remember that it will not be this vile body that becomes a king. It is the character that can be developed in this vile body that will have a part in ruling. Many people don't want to rule. I don't want to give sermonettes. Does it show? No need to answer. One last piece of advice. I'll be told afterwards just how much time I've run over. I'll hear some wisdom. Proverbs 25, verses 4 and 5. Take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer, for the silversmith, for the craftsman. Take away the wicked from before the king, and his throne shall be established in righteousness. One of the failures of the British education system, and I think it probably applies in this country, correct me afterwards if I'm wrong, is the inability of the teachers to control their pupils. If you cannot control unruly, undisciplined kids, no one is able to learn. One kid in 30 can prevent everybody else learning. To teach, we must be able to rule.